hard times and we're dying inside because of a trial or a heartache or a sickness or a sorrow or a betrayal or just something in our life that's not right and it's a hard time, many times we blame it on our past or we blame it on something. And the truth is that God, in his wisdom, and why I don't know, but in his wisdom, many times he will lead us through a crucifixion, a time of dying, in order for us to have a resurrection. Does that make sense to anyone? So I'm going to start this message out with one more video. I don't normally ever do this, but I saw this. It's very graphic, but it's very true. We can't have Easter without a crucifixion. We can't have resurrection. Watch this little video and I'll be back to preach.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from
Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has, listen to this, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, that's where he is today. But there couldn't be a resurrection without a crucifixion. We who are of the righteous sect are quick to point out the over-commercialization of our sacred holidays. How Rudolph has displaced the manger, and Christmas is now a winter holiday, and the Easter Bunny has replaced an empty tomb. And the church, we're not entirely guilt-free either. We have intellectualized the message of the gospel and prostituted faith by making it a money stream that cannot be satisfied. Its thirst is always for more. We've entertained substitute theology that has a form of godliness but lacks the power to rout the enemy or display any manifestations of God's glory. Yet, there's still a resurrection power, and it's alive today. There are three things that I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the requirements that are necessary for a resurrection. I want to explore the effects that the resurrection brings in your life. And I want to talk about the results of the resurrection brings to you, the church, and the world. The Bible says in the 27th chapter of Matthew, verse 50, and I'm reading today from the NASB, the Bible says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were dead. And coming out of the tombs after," listen to this, and this is something that caught my attention. Because we know on the third day he said he would publicly arise, he would come back. But look at what it says here. Have you got that up there? Can you get it? It's not working. Let me read it to you. "The tombs were opened," this is verse 52, "and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming up out of the tombs," his, capital H-I-Z-S, his resurrection, after his resurrection, "they entered the holy city and appeared to many." This is talking about Jesus. Yes, we understand that he died. How many knows he died? He died for you and I. But when he died, the Bible says, in particularly in John, that when he died, he ascended into the depths of the earth and he took the keys of death and hell away from Satan. He removed any threat or harm from you after he died on the cross, after the crucifixion, after the death to something in your life or something that you're involved in or something that's occurred in your life, and that death takes place. Many times people believe it's over. The Sanhedrin believed it was over. Most of the disciples, in fact, they all believed it was over. They knew he was a good man. They knew that he was a prophet. They knew that he was an incredible teacher and a healer. But they didn't grasp the fullness of the crucifixion. It wasn't until he came to see them, but he died, and instantly, though, after his death, he began to go to work for us. He went to hell and balanced the books and took the power back away from Satan, from the fall, the Adamic fall that happened with Adam and Eve. And from that day to this day, his job and his duty and his role has been restoring mankind back to the place before the fall in the garden. The Bible says that the power of his death was so powerful But it also says that his resurrection, because he's the firstborn among the dead. Do you read that? He's the first one to exemplify the resurrection body. That's what's going to happen to us. That's what happened to several of my friends that are in this church today. That's why I never refer to a Jack Hamilton or a Ray Christian or a Kathy Anderson as a was. They are. They're an is, they're now, today. They stepped over the veil of death into life again. And that's what happened to the Son of God. He conquered death for you and I by his blood. And so before any resurrection, there has to be a crucifixion. I know this because the Lord whispered in my voice these words. There are people that are going to be listening to you in this room and around the country today that are going through crucifixion times. You're going through times when it seems like it's over. It's finished. It's done. Something's caught up with you, or they've caught up with you, or someone's hurt you, or something's happened to you in your life, and it seems like there's no end to this except the end of darkness and the end of despair. But I have come today to tell you on this Easter Sunday that there is a crucifixion required before a resurrection. But summer, a sun is coming, and the light is coming, and God is going to break the darkness of your crucifixion time and bring you into a resurrection time that's going to give glory to him and give you new life and strength today. Every resurrection requires, what does it require? A crucifixion. Death precedes the coming of new life, when something in you or around you must die. You see this place you're going through or coming out of that screams death or an end of something you hadn't counted on or didn't know was going to happen. Something that's ending without a beginning in sight in your life isn't an end, but it is a beginning. It's a place where God can bring you from a point of crucifixion or death into a place of life again. I bring good news to you this morning. If you think that it's over because Satan says it's over, remember that every word that proceeds from the mouth of Satan and demonic powers is a lie to a child of God, and the word of God stands as truth. And I say again, I refuse to allow the words of Satan to override or supersede the power of the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His word is more powerful. This word's more powerful. And take heart, it isn't the end for you, it's the beginning according to the word of God. But it has to happen. There has to be a crucifixion. It's necessary for the resurrection. So if you're in this place of hurt and sorrow or pain or despair, if the darkness of your situation has swallowed up all the light that you have around you, get ready, honey. Get ready, honey. Do you hear me? I'm speaking like Marvin Gorman would tell you this morning. I could hear Dad saying those words. Honey, get ready, because it's not going to stay that way. There's going to be a resurrection in your life. That burst of light that you see, listen to me, that burst of light that God's going to bring to you will not be a burst of light from the sun, S-U-N, that glorious internal explosion of life that the sun brings to you is going to be from the S-O-N, the Son of the living God. He's the author and perfecter of faith. When you trust in him and you don't know where to go or what to say, how to pray or even what to think, when you're stymied and you're even sitting still, quiet and out without ability to communicate the circumstances you're in, God has already read. He's already read your mail. He's already set up a plan. And He, being who He is, has put in effect something for you that's going to bring joy to you. So don't be surprised when this burst of joy comes. Remember, it's not the light of the S-U-N. It's the light of the S-O-N that's coming to your life. There has to be requirements. There also is effects. The effect of the resurrection is immediate. And it's undeniable. Death has been conquered. And what was thought to have been over is really just the beginning. Oh, Pastor, I wish what you were saying was true. God, I wished what He was saying was for me, not for everyone else. I'm not a member. I'm just visiting, or I'm watching online, and He doesn't know me. I don't know you, but I have a God that's omniscient and knows everything. I have a God that's omnipresent, and He's everywhere. I have a God that has power that's so great and so mighty that His power can't be challenged. Omnipotent in all of His ways. He conquered death. The effects of the resurrection are undeniable. Death's been conquered, and what you thought to be over is just the beginning. That thing, that hurt, that ordeal that was going to bring you down has been conquered. And you can't, listen to me, you can't be harmed when Jesus brings a resurrection in your life. You can't be harmed. It can't begin to stop. It can't be held back. The Bible says in chapter 27 of Matthew, reading on in verse 53, "And coming out of the tombs of His resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many." There was resurrection. There were people that were saints. I've stood in that Garden of Gethsemane and the Mount of Olives, and I've looked across the street there, that cemetery that's on a great side of the Kidron Valley that goes back up to the other side of the walls of Jerusalem on the east gate. And I saw those tombs that have been there for hundreds and thousands, who knows how long of year. And I thought, I wonder what it was like on that day when He said it's over and it's finished and He paid the price, and the tombs began to fall and break open because of the earthquake that was happening, and the saints of God, not just Lazarus, that was some time back. Now we're talking about saints of God that had been in the tomb and their bones were dry, but all of a sudden there was a manifestation of the power of God and their bodies came back healthy and strong, and they got up and walked into the city and knocked on the door of their home, and that thing that they thought was dead, that person they thought was finished, was knocking at the door. And the families, let me tell you something, you're talking about Easter. Let someone knock on the door that's been in the tomb for 5, 10, 20 years. After they fan you, after you pinch yourself and take all kinds of ammonia capsules that you're not dreaming or hallucinating, and you begin to try to grasp the reality that this person is made alive again by the death of Jesus Christ, then you start seeing the value in a resurrection. But there takes a crucifixion to have a resurrection. Listen to this. "Now the centurion," verse 54, "and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw that the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened. And this is what that centurion said when he pierced the side of Jesus, and blood and water from a broken heart flowed out of the Son of God. Every drop of fluid in his body, his blood had all been shed. Now this ruptured heart blows out, and the overspray hits him, and it's the divine blood of the Son of God and the water of a broken heart. He falls to his knees, and he lifts his voice, and he says these words that cannot be denied, that cannot be argued with, and no one would have the opportunity to say it wasn't true, because he said these words first: surely this was the Son of God. He was, he is, and he will always be the Son of the Most High God. He paid the price. He took care of everything. Truly, this was the Son of God. The power of the resurrection. So we know that there has to be that very first thing, the requirement, which is crucifixion. The second thing, the effects. And now the third is the results of the resurrection. The result of the resurrection, those results are conclusive, unshakable truth. That what was dead is alive again. Can anybody say amen? What was dead is alive again. I'm going to bring that down to you right now. You have things in your life that you believe are dead, because people have told you, it's over, it's done, it's finished. There's no resurrecting this. They've even used the term. There's no getting this back. There's no making this happen again. It's finished, it's over. And so you go through life living a life of regret. Oh God, what I could have done for you. Oh God, what could have been for you. Oh God, and you put the blame on yourself, and you put the blame on other people, and sometimes there's bitterness comes out of it. Sometimes you have such a poor self-image of yourself spiritually, and you live in this life of what could have been, and God brought me here today, believe it or not, before the foundations of the earth, the words that are coming out of my mouth, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, are not something I dreamed up, but they're an anointed prophetic word coming to you to tell you that when he did what he did, he knew, and the situation that you're dealing with isn't dead. There's a resurrection that God has for the impossible, for those things thought that were done and over with, if you just will believe that God is able. Do you believe God's able? Do you believe he is able? First, I want to know with an amen, do you believe he's able?
Amen.
Do you believe he's able?
Amen.
Do you believe he will?
Amen.
That's the part, your will. To say, God, I release my will to you. It's too big for me to comprehend. It's too much for me to think. It's too impossible for me to go there, but you went there. You went there right there on that cross. You went there, and we saw about 20% of the true depth of torture that our Father, our Savior went through. As graphic as that was, it was nothing compared to what actually happened. It would have been too much for you to see. But we saw enough to know that he has gone to the limits and then stretched them further for you. And the result is that he has a resurrection. The results of the resurrection are conclusive, unshakable truth that what was dead is alive again. That Jesus has broken the chains of death. Think about this. And things that aim to destroy your life were crushed at the first sign of his light when the stone was rolled away. Remember, it wasn't the S-U-N you saw. It was the S-O-N you saw. It wasn't the light of good luck or the light of a second chance or the light of someone being benevolent to you. It wasn't the light of, oops, just fortunately I'm going to get to try it. It wasn't that light. It was the light of the redeeming Son of God who made it possible for you to understand that it's not over, not with Jesus. I love Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 and 3. Listen to this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, you see, we just sent four, five here in the last few months. And they're in this cloud of witnesses. And they're looking down here. And you say, well, now I don't know if they're looking down. Well, I'm just going to tell you what Hebrews says. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And they're saying this. It's worth it. Keep on. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Believe the word of God. We're here now and we know the enemy has no power over you. He has no say in your life. He isn't in control of you. Don't give him control, but will your life to Jesus Christ and he'll take you from this point on. And that crucifixion experience that you are going through and have gone through has a third day attached to it. And honey, it's the third day and the light of the Son of God is breaking through that darkness and the stones being rolled away. And you're giving an opportunity to stand up and walk out and be who God wants you to be. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay down and lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. My text again for this day, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostilities by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's a lot of truth to that. What key is that in? Is that A flat? I don't know if I can sing it or not, but you'll help me. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. You know that song? Sin has left a crimson stain. Help me lead it.
What?
Sing this.
Jesus paid it all.
Put it back up there, would you?
All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
Sing it one more time. Sing it from your heart.